Welcome to the Fantasy Postseason. It's time to look at the waiver wire for Week 14 and a little bit of Weeks 15 and 16, too. This is Fantasy Football Today presented by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code FUN at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. All right. What's up, Dave and Heath? Welcome to the show and the postseason. Congratulations on all your success.
It's more like condolences for me. I did not have the year that I envisioned having, which is to play in 13 leagues and make the playoffs in 13 leagues. But, I'm in the dance in three leagues. I've had a bad year, but one of the leagues is actually two of the leagues are important. I use the term important for a different term that I don't really want to say on the air. And another league is the podcast league, Adam.
Yes.
I made it with the help of Limericky. He did a lot of the heavy lifting with the lineup. I do want to mention one thing, and this is just something to put in the heads of everybody listening as we start to think about the off season, and we're not really going to do that on the podcast until January, but two of the three teams I made the playoffs in, I went zero RB.
No way, really?
It made a difference. Like, it's calling to me now, the philosophy.
Oh, well, wait. Remember, Jamaal Charles, Le'Veon Bell, Eddie Lacy, CJ Anderson. It was Jeremy Hill. It was a terrible year for running backs. Terrible year.
I would really like to congratulate both of you on making the playoffs in the podcast league.
Oh, here we go. I was going to bring it up myself, but I will let Heath.
I just wanted to congratulate you.
I will let Heath bring it up. No, look, me, Dave, and Jamie all made the playoffs along with Chad, Randy, and Zach. Heath went 6-7, but he did have the third most fantasy points. So he had a very good but unlucky year.
No. I had some leagues where I was actually bad. This one I was good, and I just got unlucky.
Yeah, unlucky year for Heath in the podcast league. And lucky year for me. But I will take my number one seed.
How many teams did you outscore?
I don't know. I was like middle of the pack. So, you know, I shouldn't have had the number one seed, but I went 12-1-1 or 11-1-1, whatever it was, 11-1-1. Never had that good of a year, I don't think. All right, so we're going to get into the waiver wire and talk about last night's weird game. And here's your tweet of the day on Team Name Tuesday from Brian Tarbell. Game of Drones.
Ah, clever.
Yeah, simple, cute, good enough for me.
No one was naming their team that at the beginning of the season, except for maybe Sean Drone.
Dallas 19, Washington 16, and let me ask you this. Was that a good game last night?
It was one of the worst first halves of football I've ever been a witness to.
Not three quarters?
Yeah, it was bad. Fourth quarter was interesting. You're probably right. The first three quarters were among the pits.
But let me finish. Wait, but this is what I would say about this. If Carolina and Seattle played that kind of game, I feel like we'd be like, oh man, these defenses are so good.
But then you understand it though. I mean, when you're watching a game wishing you were seeing Cleveland and Baltimore, it's not exactly fun.
Yeah. Well, what were your major fantasy takeaways? And hi, Jamie, how you doing?
Good, you?
I'm doing very well. What major takeaways from this game? Anyone?
The first one for me is the Washington run game should be avoided. I'm not sure. One week it's Alf getting a bunch of carries, and then this week it was Matt Jones getting three times the carries.
They benched more.
Yeah, it's just nasty. And neither of them did great for fantasy, so I don't feel good using either one of them. Hopefully you don't have to, but you should feel comfortable cutting them if you want to start picking up handcuffs for the playoff run, or, you know, a sleeper receiver, a sleeper tight end, play keep away and add a second DST to your bench so someone can't use them against you. I'd almost feel I'm fine with that. Neither of these guys are going to be helpful.
The thing I think that's, you know, nobody's playing the Redskins guys at this point. You're looking at DeSean Jackson, Dez Bryant, McFadden, maybe Witten in PPR still for whatever reason, and Jordan Reed. You know, I think the frustrating thing was, why did Matt Castle take so long to target Dez Bryant? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't throw that much. He only threw 19 times.
Okay.
And they were running the ball a lot.
17 of those should go to Dez.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not that easy. I mean, you could say that about a lot of teams in their number one receivers, but teams take them
I'm not talking about connecting with Dez. I'm talking about trying.
Yeah.
He targeted him twice in the first half.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I agree, and I've complained about Sammy Watkins not getting enough targets, but I don't know that I want Matt Castle throwing into bracket coverage.
But there wasn't
bracket coverage. That's not going to end well.
It doesn't have to be right coverage. It could be an out. It could be a wide receiver screen. Do something creative to get your best player the ball.
Yeah.
Or just, and if you see, first of all, they're playing man most of the night. So if you see single coverage,
take it. He's your best receiver.
And they did it in the second half because obviously he went in the halftime and said something.
Okay. He's screaming on the bench.
He's not going to be quiet. Time.
Yeah, well, what's your confidence level in him and Jordan Reed, who, by the way, has terrible matchups going forward?
Yeah, this is a preview of Reed with these tough matchups. And Jamie talked about it all week long about how you can't trust him. But this is a nightmare. 3 for 33, 8 targets. I think he can do better than this, even in tough matchups. Like against Chicago next week, I think he can do better than 3 for 33. But I don't think he's getting 7 for 90 and a touchdown anytime soon.
He's like everybody else in that after the top tight end, 6 tight ends, you're just hoping for a touchdown.
Is it 6?
There's still 6.
4.
I don't know if there's 6.
I mean, he's not quite on Kelsey's level. There's like a top 4.
Is Kelsey on Kelsey's level?
There's a top 4 that are good.
Uh-huh.
Kelsey's not in there.
No.
And then there's like a 5, 6, 7 that are, you're going to start them. And then there's everybody else.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you're clearly starting Scott Chandler over Reed if you have them both, right?
Absolutely.
The only guy Walker, would start Chandler Julius over this Thomas. Point would be Olsen.
Yeah.
What about Dez Bryant, though? Like, is he a must-start guy, in your opinion, there at Green Bay next week?
And I think he's a number 2 receiver.
Right.
You know, it just comes down to who you're comparing him against. Like, the guy, to be honest, the guy I struggled with ranking this week was Tyler Lockett and Dez Bryant. That just shows you where I am with him.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think Lockett's going to have a big game.
Not you do, Baldwin? Huh?
No, Baldwin's way ahead of Dez.
Yeah, I'm saying.
All right, so we'll get to the drop-o-meter. Or the dropometer, whatever you want to call it. But first, it is waiver wire time. So guys, give me your top 3 you never really give me 3. Just give me some give me some of your top, waiver wire priorities for fantasy week 14.
Well, Devontae Parker is the one I'll suggest to everybody, but I've been doing that for a week. So you should have picked him up already.
I don't even think he's the best rookie receiver to get this week.
He might not be. That's a good call. Austin Seferian Jenkins matchup against New Orleans. Perfect tight end to go to. If you're skittish on the tight end that you have.
Dave, that's a great call because you know what everybody's going to be doing?
What's that?
They're going to be chasing Richard Rodgers.
Right. And Rodgers has a great matchup the week after.
Yep.
I wouldn't want to use Richard Rodgers this week. I'd rather use Seferian Jenkins. James White, who we left for dead. Gotta like the fact that he had 10 catches. I don't know when I'd feel comfortable using him. You'd have to predict a game where New England would have to be chasing points like they were against Philadelphia.
But that
could happen. Against Houston. I think that could be a dogfight for them.
I struggle with. I don't really, like, they play Houston, Tennessee, and the Jets and the Dolphins.
Right.
Maybe
the Jets game could be James White games.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be 10 for 115 and 1. Deion Lewis wasn't doing that.
No. He would get 10 touches in a game.
Right. He could potentially be that. Mm-hmm. So not to the same level as Deion Lewis, but he's certainly the first running back you want to add because the rest of it's terrible.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible week for running backs. But, I mean, if you got to this point and you need, I'm trying to figure out, most of the teams, you're either done or you have good players.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
True. But, you know, you may have, just by comparison, PPR league. I'm not doing it, but I can understand the argument for James White over Javoris Allen this week.
Javoris Allen just caught 10 passes, didn't he?
But he's now got to face the monster that is Seattle, that's turned their defense around looking like the best defense in the NFL again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying that that's a decision people could be making.
Okay. So I think, yeah, it's not a good week for running backs, but it looks like, in my opinion, a pretty good week for wide receivers. I think there are some good options. And I'm just looking at Jamie's priority list. And all right, I'll call you out. I don't really think that you should add Tyler Lockett over Marvin Jones. Maybe it's because Jones is 65% owned. That's why he's not in your top 5 priority list. But if Jones is available, I feel like he got a quarter of Andy Dalton's targets. Dalton only threw 19 passes, and Jones had 5 of them. He caught all 5. He scored a touchdown. And I just feel like it makes sense with Tyler Eifert out. I'm presuming he's out this week. It makes sense against Pittsburgh. That game could be a shootout. And I just can't trust Tyler Lockett, you know, like too inconsistent.
Well, not of late.
Yeah, of late. He's not doing – look, I mean, he's not giving you huge games. He had one huge game.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk consistently and of late, I mean, he's basically Marvin Jones, if that's your barometer.
No, but Marvin Jones is going to be a different guy without Tyler Eifert. That's
okay, but I mean, I can say the same thing that Tyler Lockett is going to be a different guy without Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, we've seen him without Jimmy Graham. He had 7 for 90. I mean, I guess so. The matchup's great. Just Tyler Lockett, you know, it's like, I don't really trust the...
I don't know why you're downgrading Tyler Lockett like this. He's a rookie wide receiver that coming into the year, some of us said we thought was better, more talented than Doug Baldwin.
Some of you said that.
Well, we all liked his game.
He's not, he's obviously behind Doug Baldwin in the receiving pecking order in Seattle.
Right. Let's explain where the basis of this is coming from. Number one, Seattle's offense has turned the corner. Not only are they running the ball to expectations, but they're throwing the ball beyond expectations. The passing game is great. Russell's on point. The offensive line is fantastic. If you've watched them play, you've seen them. Number two, the matchup is tailor-made. And just because the Ravens did a great job against Ryan Tannehill and the Dolphins, statistically, they did great. I think there's going to be room for Russell Wilson to keep it going. And if you haven't bought in by now, then you're not watching.
This is
interesting.
You're
not paying attention. So Baldwin is definitely kind of a top 15 receiver, if you ask me. I don't know how you put him, but
Tyler Lockett.
At this point, I'm ready to trust him.
It's not.
He's on an unbelievable tear. Right. He's the one coming down with the numbers. He's benefiting.
Sure.
I don't think there's going to be a game that comes up now. Sorry, Adam. I don't think there's a game that's going to come along where it's going to be Tyler Lockett getting two touchdowns, Jermaine Kearse getting a touchdown, and Doug Baldwin goes 3 for 30 and no touchdowns.
Well, that was the game 2 games ago, though.
Yeah, I think that could definitely happen.
I don't think it can. I think at the rate he's going and the targets that he's getting.
But there's a sample size. Could happen.
Right.
Okay, well, Tyler Lockett had 3 catches for 38 yards against Pittsburgh in week 12. Okay.
Right, that was the game where the other two guys went off. I totally get where you're coming from, Adam. I just think the name you used to compare him to is a little bit sketchy.
You want to use arbitrary endpoints. Let's just look since week 7.
Look since the bye.
Lockett has 23
catches.
Since
the bye. It's since the bye week. That
for which player? I'm trying
for
to compare.
Seattle.
I'm comparing him to Marvin Jones.
Oh, okay.
No. There's no sense in comparing him to Marvin Jones. It is Marvin Jones without Tyler Eifert. That is my argument. Somebody has to get those targets.
Versus Lockett, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, no, Adam, I totally agree with you. Marvin Jones, the reason I mentioned him here, you know, in the notes that I sent you, is because I think he's got a great opportunity. And right. I saw the same thing you saw last week. So he's got a great chance. I just think for this particular week, the upside is a little bit more in favor of Lockett, personally.
All right. Well, I'm not going to, you know, maybe upside, but I would say downside probably favors Lockett too. There's maybe more range for him.
Agree.
All right. Well, there are good wide receivers. Now, let me ask you about Austin Seferian Jenkins because, you know, I certainly made the case, pick him up. He's got great matchups going forward this week and next week for your fantasy playoffs. But I think he played less than Cameron Brait. Now, that might have been just, you know, come back from the injury. But he also has only played 3 games, had 1 great game, and was terrible against New Orleans in week 2. So
he got hurt in that game.
How much of it do you remember?
He played 40 snaps in that game.
Have we made too much of Austin Seferian Jenkins? Are we overrating him?
Probably so.
Maybe a little bit, but we talk about he didn't play very many snaps. Only played 21 snaps against Atlanta.
Right.
But he was targeted on 6 of those.
Okay.
He's getting targeted on more than a fourth of his snaps. I like that.
Heath, was there anyone else you wanted to mention for waiver wire priorities?
Well, we should probably say Devontae Parker's name, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he deserves a mention. I think he probably is right there with Lockett and Jones, just right below him. But I don't know that his upside's any lower than those two. He's going up against the Giants on Monday Night Football. Listen, the Dolphins are bad, but just because they're going to be behind and throwing a lot, that kind of makes me like Parker more.
Right. And the game plan this week, according to some of the players, if you've read the Miami newspapers, was to run the ball. They just went, it was just like what happened after Joe Philbin got canned. Let's just run the football. Let's fix this mistake and overcompensate. And they did. I think this was Lamar Miller's first game ever, or first game since he was a rookie.
2013, I think.
Something like that, with 20 carries.
That's what I was thinking you're going to say.
I mean, so the free Lamar Miller, it happened. Yay. But he was probably on a lot of benches when it happened.
Yeah.
I think they do have to end up throwing more. And I think that's got to be part of the game plan, which is good for Jarvis Landry. And it's good for Devontae Parker.
We haven't mentioned the quarterbacks yet, but there are some good ones like Fitzpatrick and Hoyer and Mariota. We'll talk about them. And Lions DST, they will be a popular ad, right, Jamie, at St. Louis?
Oh, for sure. They should be.
Yeah. All right, so more on the waiver wire in a bit. Now, you trust us for fantasy advice. Trust us for website advice, too. When I needed to make a website, honestly, I tried Squarespace. It was a great decision. I thought it would be hard to do. It was not hard at all. Squarespace has easy-to-use tools, no coding, no expertise required. You'll actually enjoy making your website because it's so simple. You can just kind of see things taking shape and see what your finished product's going to look like. And the best part, it's that finished product. It looks incredible. It looks professional. It looked like I had someone do it for me, like I had hired someone to make the website, but that wasn't the case with Squarespace.com. Now, is it affordable? Absolutely. Squarespace starts at just $8 a month. Sign up for a year, get a free domain. That's a pretty sweet deal. Take advantage of that. And if you want another great deal from Squarespace, well, there's a, you know, you can do a free trial site. No credit card required. Start right now at squarespace.com. We have an offer code for you to use. It is FUN, F-U-N, FUN. You're going to get 10% off your first purchase. It already starts at $8 a month and you get 10% off your first purchase. So go on squarespace.com and build it beautiful.
Beautiful.
People want to know who to drop. So kind of interesting now. You know, you don't necessarily have to hang on long term to guys, right? Your strategy changes a little bit with the drops, doesn't it?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it does.
Okay, good. Drop-o-meter.
Drop-o-meter.
Dez Bryant and Todd Gurley on the drop-o-meter, 0 to 10.
Zero.
It's zero for both. I think the litmus test still applies. And if I drop somebody, how quickly is he going to get picked up? And I'm the number one seed in one of those important leagues I talked about, Adam. If someone dropped Dez or Gurley, I'm jumping in right away just to stash them on my bench. I don't even know if I'd start them. But I'd take them in a heartbeat. So you've got to keep them. You don't have to start them if you don't want to, but you've got to keep them.
Actually, you know, somebody dropped Tyler Eifert in one of my leagues.
Yeah, that's stupid. Somebody is stupid.
We don't know if Eifert's coming back, though.
We don't, but I still wouldn't cut him.
Yeah.
He'll come back eventually.
Okay, more drop-o-meter. Jeremy Langford, 0 to 10, guys.
I think it's about, unless you've got Forte, you can say goodbye.
Six.
He got benched this week.
Eight.
It's 8 or 9.
All right. Jordan asks about Steve Johnson.
Oh, 10.
7.
It's 10.
Brandon LaFell.
8. Adam was a week ahead of his time. yeah, I would say 7 or 8.
That's exactly how this whole season's worked for you too.
Mm-hmm. It's what? 8 for sure.
What do you mean?
Just good fortune.
You know, like, you're basing that on one league, and that's the podcast league. I made the playoffs in 5 out of 7 leagues, won my stupid dynasty league. I don't even count, so 5 out of 6. I'm not in the playoffs.
I don't even count that league that I didn't make the playoffs.
No, that league's stupid.
It's a dynasty league that I played in for 30 years.
No. That's a stupid league. There's no roster turnover. If you're bad, you're bad for a long time. And there's nobody on waivers. So I don't even count that stupid league.
You should have drafted better.
If it's a league you play in and you set a lineup in, it counts, bud.
All right, fine. Then 5 out of 7. Although
it's better ratio than what I've got.
Yeah, don't give me that. Packers running backs, drop-o-meter.
This one's tricky.
I'm not dropping Lacy yet.
Yeah, I don't know if this was a 1 week thing or a rest of season thing. John Crockett's a name that could get in the mix. Packers aren't going to tip their hand, though. I would be stunned if McCarthy comes out this week and says, yeah, here's our starter. His name is blank. I don't know if he's going to do that. I don't know if he knows which running back he's got is his best running back.
Andre Ellington.
Except for Starks, he sucks. Ellington is
8.
Yeah.
Yep. Unless you own David Johnson.
Danny Woodhead.
3.
I'm not going to say it.
4.
What? You're not cutting Danny Woodhead?
Not yet.
You're hanging on to Danny Woodhead? Have you not paid attention to what's going on in San Diego?
Maybe they paid attention and they'll stop giving the ball to Melvin Gordon.
And he fumbled again and they have no receivers. So yeah, I'm going to give it 1 more week.
They also have the Dolphins coming up, not this week, but I think next week. So they got Kansas City on the road and then
they're at Kansas City. You're never going to start them. And then after that, it's Miami, you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Oakland.
You guys have confidence where I don't have. I love the guy, but I'm dropping him.
Matt Ryan.
Oh, 10. Goodbye.
Yeah, 10.
Yeah. What about Matt Ryan at Jacksonville in week 15?
Is that game in a dome?
No.
And bye.
The only thing I said was if you play in a week 17, Matt Ryan has the Saints, so you can keep that in mind.
Where's that game?
That's a home
indoors.
Game.
It's indoors.
You're it's right. In a dome.
You sure they're not playing outside?
They're not playing outside. Pretty certain. How about Giovanni Bernard?
2.
I'm ready to bench him. I'm not ready to cut him.
Yep.
So, yeah, but that's the thing. It's like at this point, I feel like if you're willing to bench someone, a lot of times you could be willing to cut them.
Okay.
It's partially about playing keep away and partially about keeping depth.
Did you hear our little discussion a couple minutes ago about our top three options in the waiver wire?
Yes.
Like, so if you're going to bench somebody, I want to drop them so I can run out and pick up who?
James White.
Well, maybe you need a quarterback or something like that. You know, you don't have to drop him for a running
back.
Yeah,
but you can drop a quarterback to pick up a quarterback.
Okay, but look, I can't give every specific scenario of who's on people's rosters. I'm just saying, like, if you have no intention of playing Gio Bernard, I guess this is the question. If you have no intention of playing Gio Bernard, you're set at running back, would you still be too afraid to drop him in the fear that somebody picks him up and plays him against you and Gio has a good game, or are you done
yes.
fearing that?
Remaining schedule is Pittsburgh at home, at San Francisco, at Denver, home against Baltimore. It is not an easy schedule.
I bet Gio's better than Hill this week.
It wouldn't be surprising. I wouldn't count on it, but it wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, Hill's getting the ball so much more.
Well, he's running better.
But if they're playing from behind against Pittsburgh, if it's a shootout, now, it might not be. It could be just like the last time these two teams played, but I think it's more likely that this one turns into a shootout.
How about,
I wouldn't crush Gio this week, especially PPR leagues, but he just, his numbers in standard leagues have just been completely awful.
How about Jordan Matthews?
Oh, yeah, done.
He's scored in consecutive games,
yeah.
though.
I don't care. Done.
No, I'm not dropping him.
I'm not dropping either, but I am so glad that I traded him in one of my leagues so I don't have to make this decision. His schedule. Buffalo at home this week. I think you have to like that matchup, especially with Gilmore banged up for the Bills. And then home against Arizona. No way. Home against Washington.
Yeah.
Gotta like that. Week 17 at the Giants. Gotta like that. There are reasons to be encouraged by Jordan Matthews.
And Eli Manning.
I don't want to start him. So yeah, you cut him. Any quarterback that you look at and you go, no, then you cut him.
Yeah, the Giants are awful.
It's a 10.
You know that the
10 on the cut list.
The Giants and the Dolphins are about to play like a completely epic game, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't cut him yet.
Are you starting him this week?
Depends on what my team is. He's certainly two quarterback leagues. He's
two quarterback leagues.
He's a borderline top 12 guy. Sure.
I disagree. Especially if his offensive line's in even worse shape now. They lost another starter. Dolphins defensive line played great against Baltimore.
That's Baltimore.
Well, I'm just saying every Monday Night Football game has been like poorly played. Not all of them. Many of them have been poorly played, but incredible finishes.
It's also going to be a home game for the Giants.
The Giants have lost 5 games in which they've led in the final minute, my friend told me yesterday, and I think that's right. That's incredible. 5 games they've lost in the final minute, and it's probably going to be 6 this week. All right, week 15 and week 16. I put some names in there. I don't want to take too much time because we have to talk about week 14. But, I put some names on the notes, guys. Is there anybody that stands out to you for week 15 or week 16? Because I know people are planning ahead. What do you think?
I like Amir Abdullah going up against New Orleans on your week 15 list.
Richard Rodgers for next week for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Rodgers is at Oakland next week, yeah.
Right. Now, do you want somebody who's got good matchups both weeks?
Well, that would be Alex Smith and Brian Hoyer.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyone
those
else?
Those two have some pretty good matchups.
And those two are exactly tied together with one's going to play well because his defense is falling apart again, is the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is only dependent on when his defense is playing poorly, which is Alex Smith.
Wait a second. His defense is not falling apart. It was a bad game.
It's going to be bad again this week.
At Indianapolis?
No.
Hoyer. That's week 15.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who do they have this week?
New England.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
He's going to have to throw.
And we think that Luck's going to be back for that game against the Texans, right?
It's possible that he's back.
All right, anybody else, guys? Richard Rodgers?
Well, the Abdullah comment. I think is spot on. I don't know if I'm ready to expect more than like 60 or 70 yards from AA, but the Lions in general, week 15 at New Orleans. First of all, they're at St. Louis this week. That's a good matchup. Then they're at New Orleans and then they're home against San Francisco in week 16.
I've got this crazy idea. You drafted this running back that supposedly was really good at catching the ball out of the backfield. And then all year long, you've just not hardly thrown it to him at all. He's got no more than one catch in the last 6 weeks.
It's because there's another running back on the roster that you're more comfortable with
but
throwing the ball to.
Your season's kind of pretty much over. Going into next year, you'd kind of like to know if Abdullah is really good at catching the ball. How about throw it to
him
6 times?
Maybe that happens. Maybe that starts happening.
Well, let's look at the injuries, news, and notes. Then we'll get into the week 14 waiver wire. Eli Manning has an ankle injury, but he seems fine, and they've got the Monday night game. Johnny Manziel is going to start for Cleveland. Is there any sleeper appeal for him as the Niners are obviously really bad, except for last week, really bad on the road? Johnny Manziel.
I'd rather start Blaine Gabbert.
What? Oh, yeah. What? How bad of a situation must you be in if you're considering Johnny Manziel as a starter for your fantasy team?
And you're in the playoffs.
And you're in the playoffs. It would have to be two quarterback league, and you're sick and tired of Matt Ryan.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was going to say, would you start Manziel or Ryan this week?
Matt Ryan. That's ridiculous.
I don't think it's ridiculous.
I don't know.
Facing Carolina?
Yeah. I hate making this decision. I guess it's in Carolina, right? Yeah. What the hell? Go with Manziel.
Oh, come on.
What the
hell?
Why not?
All right. St. Louis fired their offensive coordinator. Chuck Pagano expects Matt Hasselbeck to play this week. Travis Benjamin expected to play. Alan Hearns has been cleared to return. That's awesome news.
Good timing for him against Indianapolis.
Rob Gronkowski unlikely to play this week, according to Adam Schefter. Cleveland lost an offensive lineman, Joel Bitonio, for the season to an ankle injury. Chip Kelly did not provide an update on Ryan Matthews. We will obviously break down the Eagles running backs later in the week. Denver is beat up on defense. Safety David Bruton, TJ Ward, Omar Bolden, all safeties. Danny Trevathan at linebacker, Sylvester Williams on the defensive line, DeMarcus Ware, obviously. But I'm gonna, what does that mean for Oakland this week? Like, if you're the Derek Carr owner, do you need to be making alternate plans, or would you feel okay starting him against Denver?
I do not feel okay starting him against Denver.
No way.
All the safeties in the world can be hurt. Those corners are so good, they don't really need safety help.
Yep.
Okay. And do you expect the following players this week? CJ Anderson against Oakland?
Yes.
Yep.
Carlos Hyde to Cleveland?
No.
Crockett Gilmore against Seattle?
Not as of now.
Vance McDonald at Cleveland.
Same thing I just said.
Steve Johnson at Kansas City.
I got to say it again.
Kenny Stills against the Giants.
Not happening. Let's start Kenny Stills.
I care. Well, he wasn't hurt last week, so he could definitely play.
What's that?
He wasn't hurt last week.
I thought he was added to the injury report the day before the game.
No, but he played. He just didn't get any targets.
Oh, I thought he left with an injury. But I guess I'm wrong. Now, the only reason I brought up Stills is because of Parker.
He could be healthy. Yeah.
I don't think it matters at this point.
I think he did aggravate his ankle injury.
Okay. Then I missed that.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't start Kenny Stills. By the way, did you see the news on DeMarco Murray? There was a report that he decided to complain about his workload by going to the owner of the Eagles.
Here's the question.
He was trying to talk to the next coach.
Doesn't Chip Kelly own the Eagles?
Who?
He's working on it.
And I saw this question on Twitter. Who leaks that?
The owner.
Murray's people? The owner's people?
The owner.
Kelly's people?
It could be Kelly's people. In fact, it would make sense if it were Kelly's people.
It's Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews' people.
Ryan Matthews' people? Ryan Matthews' people are just trying to make sure he's okay.
Right.
All right, waiver wire time. Quarterbacks. Ryan Fitzpatrick is having a good year, and he was great last week, and now he's got Tennessee, and they're 30th in fantasy points allowed. Dallas, the schedule gets a little tougher after that, but Tennessee this week. Brian Hoyer faces New England this week, and then at Indianapolis, at Tennessee, and Jacksonville in weeks 15, 16, and 17. Those are great matchups. I'm not really sure about New England. I do feel like there's a difference between home and road New England. But is this
New England's played five road games so far this season. Three of the five quarterbacks have gone for 24 points.
Okay.
The two that haven't were... It was an injury replacement guy.
And Osweiler?
And Osweiler was the other one.
When was the last time Ryan Fitzpatrick played a full game and didn't score two touchdowns?
I don't think it's happened this year.
It's happened once.
It did?
Wow.
One time, all year.
Wow.
Which was?
Week 4 against the Dolphins.
In London.
And they blew him out. All right, so we got Fitzpatrick, we have Hoyer, Mariota at the Jets. And the Jets have really, we got to check on their health, but their pass defense is not what it once was. Alex Smith against San Diego.
There's really just two guys. Once you get past the first two, it's...
Yeah, I think if you can get Fitzpatrick, go get him.
It's the other three guys, Mariota, Smith, and Gabbert are more for two quarterback leagues.
All right, well then let me throw out two more names. Tyrod Taylor at Philadelphia and Jameis Winston against New Orleans. And those guys are owned in 72 and 76% of leagues, respectively. But let's say they're available. Tyrod Taylor and Jameis Winston, where do they rank?
Winston should be 100% owned this week.
So should Taylor.
Hold on a second. First of all, I think we should determine which one we like better between the two. And I had lots of problems in my rankings between 9 and about 15 to 16.
Taylor, quarterback. Taylor, I'm going to assume Jameis is owned in all the leagues that really matter at this point based on 75%
right.
more. But Taylor in some 10-team leagues could still be available. And if he is, he's the number one quarterback to pick up.
I agree. I love the matchup against Philadelphia, and I love the way that he's been playing, the way Sammy Watkins has been playing. I don't think Sammy can get covered by the Eagles. And I think Tyrod Taylor has finally shown that he's back and he's healthy and he's ready to roll. I like him a lot this week.
Yep.
Probably too much. For me. Yeah, me too. And I'm almost scared to rank him as high as I have.
Why? He's finished there in the last two games.
Yeah. But Winston's outside of my top 12.
Not for me.
Last
time he had a matchup like this, he went off.
He did go right against Philadelphia. 5 touchdowns. I'm just a little worried. I'm trusting him at this point in the year. I'll give you a name. You tell me if you ranked him ahead of or behind, Jameis Winston. Matt Stafford.
Oh, Jameis by far. Stafford's been good, but he's only had the one epic game. And that was against who? The Eagles. Who? Jameis also.
Apparently, right. Everybody gets an epic game against the Eagles. Hence Tyrod Taylor. Drew Brees.
Oh, by far. Brees isn't even my top 12. He's not even my top 15.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick's higher than Taylor.
Brian Hoyer.
Wait, is this Winston or Taylor we're talking
Winston.
About?
Winston. We're comparing versus
yeah,
Winston.
I have Fitzpatrick, Taylor, Winston in that order, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And both guys over, all three of those guys over Hoyer. Hoyer's 12th for me.
Okay. Mariota.
Don't love Mariota this week. Mariota's more of a two quarterback league guy against the Jets.
Derek Carr.
Wouldn't touch Derek Carr against the Broncos.
Charlie Whitehurst.
Didn't rank him because Hasselbeck's expected to play. But he's got a good matchup.
He does.
Okay. How about Jameis Winston or Aaron Rodgers?
Rodgers. The okay. one thing that scares me about Winston more than anything is that Doug Martin just goes off.
Right.
And that's kind of what scares me about Tyrod Taylor, because I wonder if they're going to give LeSean McCoy 50 carries.
Oh, they're going to give him plenty. But, yeah.
but
I think
matter.
Taylor's, you know, the thing
he's
about Taylor.
Be a captain for sure.
The thing about Taylor that we see is he doesn't have to throw the ball a ton to be successful.
Right. That's true.
But the thing you're dealing with Taylor and Winston at this point is you're dealing with matchups. And, you know, there's a good enough sample size of what these guys have done in favorable matchups to buy into it.
Okay, guys, that covers quarterbacks. And yeah, Jameis Winston facing the New Orleans Saints. You're going to start your Tampa Bay Bucks this week in seasonal. You're going to start them in FanDuel, right? Well, I don't know. Maybe not. There's some strategy involved here. So many people are going to be starting the Bucks this week, so maybe you should go contrarian. You can listen to Heath and Chris Towers and Ryan Bass on Fantasy Football Today, or excuse me, on Daily Fantasy Live at 4 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com and on their podcast, Daily Fantasy Live. But that's the fun of FanDuel. You got interesting lineup decisions, and they're different decisions than what you're used to making in your seasonal leagues. It's a new way to play fantasy football. It's an awesome way to play fantasy football. Make sure you try out FanDuel. You get to test your skills against other people who love fantasy football and see how you stack up. Now, you don't have to worry about injuries on your roster. You just join a contest. They start at $1. There's no sign-up fees, no season-long commitment, nothing like that. You enter the best lineup you can make. You sit back and you win some money. You turn a small entry fee into thousands of dollars. We've heard stories right on this podcast of our listeners. I get tweets all the time. Adam, I played FanDuel. I loved it. I won this amount of money. I finished second in this contest, finished first, whatever it is. People love FanDuel, so you should try it too. FanDuel.com, the leader in one-week fantasy football. Running backs to pick up. All right, we talked about James White. Isaiah Crowell is number 2 on the list, Jamie. Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
Yeah, that's more of a statement about the rest of the list, but he gets the Niners this week. And then tough matchups.
They have allowed 11 touchdowns to running backs on the road. A running back has scored against them in every road game so far this season.
And this is road game number 7 for them?
This is road game number 6 or 7 for sure.
I'm pretty sure it's 7. I'll check for you.
They're just not good stopping the run on the road. And, you know, for what it's worth, Crowell had his best game in a long time. 11 for 62 last week against the Bengals. It's completely, you know, looking at what the field is this week, why he's listed where he's listed. So I went back and forth between Sproles and him as the second guy. I mean, this just shows you where running backs are.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be desperate to even think about starting Isaiah Crowell. But if you buy into matchup and you buy into potential workload, it could easily be Duke Johnson, the one that finds the end zone this week, but Duke's carries and touches have been really limited. So I think Crowell's got flex appeal.
Yeah. Okay. Darren Sproles has Buffalo this week. We just don't know how he had 19 touches last week, so that's pretty good.
Season high.
Bilal Powell had a big game receiving against the Giants. Now he gets Tennessee. And Chris Polk. So what did you guys make of that? Because Alfred Blue was banged up during the week. He barely played. Do you think it was just injury related?
It didn't seem like it. See, I mean, this is what they are. They're using four guys. They're basically the Giants.
Yeah, but they barely used Blue. I mean, he barely saw
the
field.
He had four carries. It was not what was expected.
Well, all right. And same thing. You got to be desperate here. What about Kenyon Barner? Any thought on adding him?
I think he's going to be on the I don't know if he'll play when Matthews is healthy.
Okay. Do a quick check of Ryan Matthews just in case someone dropped him in your league. I know he's widely owned, but you never know.
I just find it hard to you know, with what Chip is saying about, you know, week to week with his running back rotation, I can't imagine he's not going to give DeMarco Murray work when he's facing LeSean McCoy. Like, that was the move that he made.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, well, I mean, these reports coming out of Philadelphia about DeMarco Murray going and talking to the owner are bad, and it's a bad look for the organization. But
that's what explains the lack of touches.
Doesn't it also qualify him for the squeaky wheel theory?
Yeah, but this time the squeaky wheel is being ditched on the side of the road.
I mean, the two things I keep looking at with Murray is, one, you know, Dave, you've been harping on this for weeks now about how rough Buffalo's run defense has been awful, and it did play itself out with Polk, you know, that he got a touchdown. He can find room here to run the ball.
Does he get the opportunity?
The Eagles can. I think if you give him, if him being benched, let's just say, is 8 carries, so he gets back into good graces of Chip Kelly for whatever reason, he goes from 8 to 12 or 12 to 15. I think in 15 carries against that team, I would still, I wouldn't run away from DeMarco Murray.
Would you consider him a number two type of running back?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we're at with him. He's right in that range as a low end number two for me.
Would you start Isaiah Crowell or DeMarco Murray?
DeMarco Murray.
That's where I was at with my ranking, just to show you where I am. I'd still start Murray over Crowell, but I think Crowell's got the higher ceiling, unfortunately.
Well, okay. And pick up handcuffs now. Jay Ajayi, Robert Turbin, Jerick McKinnon, Terrence West, Fred Jackson, Dan Heron. These are guys you want to add to your roster. You can drop some. Like, are we done with Melvin Gordon? Are we done with Carlos Williams? Should we drop them?
Anybody who
yeah,
is
well,
in
don't
the
drop Williams if you're not McCoy.
Right.
Right.
If Carlos Williams isn't your handcuff and you have no intention on starting him, he's taking up space on your roster.
And
you can keep him if you want to. Mm-hmm. But if you see something on waivers that would behoove you to have a more complete roster heading into these important games, then make the switch.
And Dave, you had made the case for John Crockett. How are you going to be picking him up at all?
If I was still alive in my 26 team office league, I would.
Okay.
I'm wide still alive in my 18-team league, so maybe I will in there.
All right, there you go. Wide receivers. Now, look, we should point out with Tyler Lockett, who is Jamie's number one priority this week, that not only does he have Baltimore on the road, he then gets Cleveland in week 15. So two good matchups there for Tyler Lockett. Devontae Parker. Brian Hartline is interesting. 8 for 83 on 11 targets against Cincinnati. After 8 catches for 74 yards on 12 targets. In fact, in his last 4 games, Hartline has 9 targets or more in each game, and he's put up some really nice numbers in PPR leagues. And he gets San Francisco this week.
Right. So I think you can expect more of the same. And he's perfect because he's so widely available. You can just grab him and stick him in your lineup as a third receiver in a PPR league if you wanted to.
And Cecil Shorts and Doriel Green Beckham are also on this list. The other players that Jamie notes are Marvin Jones, Marcus Wheaton, Ted Ginn, and Brandon Coleman. Heath, what do you think about these wide receivers?
The one that kind of interests me a little bit, if Willie Snead doesn't play, is Brandon Coleman. They were making an effort to get him the ball. I think he's good. Like, when I watch him play, he looks like he's a good wide receiver. I don't know why they haven't gotten him more involved other than just some kind of strange connection, maybe
right.
Marcus Colston.
No. I think it's consistency. I don't think they trust him out
right.
there.
Well, but they're not.
Because they started the seat. Right.
Yeah.
They started, I think just necessity has pushed him into the lineup because Snead's been out. He was beaten out by Willie Snead pretty quickly this year.
Because Snead was consistent.
Right.
I wonder if has a higher
it
upside.
Could, it could be his run blocking. You yeah. know, he may not be a good run blocker, which is one of the most.
We would have seen him play more though. We would have seen him on more third downs. I mean, Snead became an every down receiver for them.
Yeah, but they still keep running Marcus Colston out there too because he's a good blocker. I don't want any part of the Saints outdoors.
Okay. What do you make of, what do you make of Doriel Green Beckham and Marcus Wheaton, guys?
Wheaton is pretty, interesting because you've seen his play increase with Heath Miller of getting hurt. So he got hurt in the game against Seattle and you saw Wheaton go off for 200 yards. you heard Mike Tomlin say that was part of the game plan. So let's just say he would have had a 100-yard game if Miller stayed in. Clearly, they were trying to feature him there. And then last week, they just, you know, I know Jesse James played a little bit of a role, if not a significant role, but they probably went to more three wide receiver sets than they are typically known to do. So I think you got to look at Wheaton. As long as Heath Miller's out, he's not a bad guy to, you know, keep an eye on in terms of these late round or, you know, not late round, but like number three, number four receivers, depending on the size of your league.
I will say DGB is the type of guy that I want to play if I'm the 7 or 8 seed and I feel like I'm a major underdog, because he has boom potential. He just scares me because he has huge bust potential.
I wouldn't, and it's funny because I originally didn't have him in the top 5, but the fact that Revis has yet to be cleared,
right,
that kind of helps him a little bit.
Oh, it's a sad moment on the podcast. Dave Richard has to go. Is Dave still there or did he already go?
He's gone.
Dave has to go do video, so the three of us will finish up here. Anything else to say on wide receivers,
fellas?
He
gave his finger as he walked out.
Yeah, it's probably true. Anything else to say on wide receivers?
Well, you know, if Ted Ginn catches all of his targets, he's going to be a top 10 wide receiver this week.
If he catches 40% of his targets, maybe. Nah, he's got Atlanta and, you know, not New Orleans again. Drop candidates, James Jones, Brandon LaFell, Stephon Diggs, Willie Snead. There you go. Tight ends. Austin Seferian Jenkins is number 1. Richard Rodgers is number 2. Dallas has been very good against tight ends. After Seferian Jenkins, Jamie, are you excited about anyone? I'll read the names. Rodgers, Tammy, Fleener, Owen Daniels. Ugh.
No, you're counting on matchups to help you.
Who's got a good matchup?
All those other guys.
Well, not Rodgers, does he?
No. I'm sorry. After the first two.
Okay, so
I mean,
Tammy.
You know, Carolina, the one weakness that they really have struggled with is defending tight ends. Mm-hmm. You know, and you got to hope that Tammy's targets still remain consistent. Fleener's got a great matchup. I mean, Jacksonville can't stop tight ends at all right now. I mean, look what the Titans just did to them.
Yeah.
Two guys scored for them.
Fleener did have a huge game against them in the first meeting, 14 fantasy points, but Allen did not play in that game.
Right, and he's, I mean, it's terrible because he's inconsistent.
Yeah.
And then Daniels, you know, it's the Raiders, and Vernon Davis may not play because of a concussion.
Yeah.
So his targets could be up a little bit too.
Cool. Other guys with good matchups, Jordan Cameron gets the Giants. Zach Ertz caught a touchdown. He has the Bills. I don't know how great. It's not a very good matchup.
That was like Zach Ertz has been getting a ton of targets and a ton of catches all year long and not getting into the end zone. And then he gets a game with only 4 targets, only catches 2 of them, but he scores.
Right.
There's your regression.
Clive Walford had his most yards and catches. First game with more than 2 catches. He had 5 for 53. I don't think anybody's going to trust him. And Ryan Griffin has 5 targets and a touchdown in 2 straight games as the Texans face the Patriots, who are second best against tight ends.
Terrible matchup.
The one thing with him, though, is he's played 3 games with Hoyer, and he's had at least 5 targets in all 3 games. And you know they're going to be throwing a lot. So I don't know if you want to trust him, but he is somebody to keep an eye on. He could be the late-season Gary Barnage.
There you go. And DSD streamers, the Lions are at St. Louis. We like that. The 49ers are at Cleveland. Cleveland allows the most fantasy points to DSTs, and the Buccaneers face the Saints. Now, the Saints, and it's a little scary because they just put up a big number on Carolina, but as Jamie mentioned, not so good outside. Also, the Buccaneers have 4 straight games with 3 sacks, so that is nice. Anything else? Are there any like widely owned DSTs that you're avoiding this week?
The Bengals, the Texans,
I'd rather have all 3 of those defenses than either one of the ones you just mentioned.
Than the Niners and the Bucks?
The Niners, for sure. I think the Niners should be good against Cleveland. I trust Johnny Football to turn the ball over.
Oh, okay, wait. You'd rather have the Lions, Niners, and Bucks than the Texans,
right.
Bengals. Yep. Okay, gotcha. And kicker streamers, Barth Vader, Adam Vinatieri, and Phil Dawson. What goes into your kicker streamers, Jamie?
I mean, ownership. And matchup.
Okay. And when you look at matchup, do you look at fantasy points allowed or do you just look at high scoring games?
No, because high scoring games could just be extra points.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's hard to count on those guys. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Boswell only has, you know, 4 or 5 points.
I will say I'm much more likely to pick a kicker like Barth on a team that I expect to win the game. Than I am a kicker to be playing from behind, because teams are chasing points, they're much less likely to settle for field goals.
I need extra points.
You want to hear something cool? Yes?
Sure.
Yeah. Right.
The sports line simulations went 3-0 on their NBA apex yesterday. At one point, there were four NBA apex. I guess went down to three. Now they're at 63% on apex against the spread. That is pretty damn good for the year. And not cool. They had an apex against the Knicks last night, so I knew there was really no point in watching, and it turned out to be correct. All right, emails and tweets. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com is our email address. Here's a tweet from Mike. He says, I'm out of the playoffs in a keeper league. Is it fair to trade Thomas Rawls and Danny Amendola to a team that's in the playoffs for Le'Veon Bell?
I mean, the fact that you're making trades now is pretty sketchy.
But not, I don't know if I totally agree in a keeper league. Where,
well, why wouldn't you have made this trade before you're out of the playoffs?
I don't know, but I would much rather, if all I'm thinking about is me, next year, I would much rather have Le'Veon than Rawls and Amendola. So it's a pretty simple decision for me.
I would agree if you're only keeping one guy, but it's pretty much looking like Rawls may be the starter for the Seahawks next year.
I agree. I think Le'Veon's still going to be better.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And Amendola
may not even be startable. I mean, let's see who's on the team next year.
You assume he goes back to reserve. Well, yeah, I guess you're right. Le'Veon makes more sense. But you're creating such a, you're shifting the balance of what the league is, because the guy right. Who's in the playoffs, Le'Veon, may have just skidded into the playoffs.
I agree with you completely, and it sucks for the other owners, but it's really the commissioner's fault for allowing trades in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But if that's one of the rules, all I concern myself when I'm trading is, do I make my team bitter?
Right, so you're the team out of it.
That makes my team better for next year.
Clearly the person that's asking the question should make the deal if it's still out. The league, however, should veto the trade.
Well, now, I don't agree with that either. If that's in the rules that anybody that's not in the playoffs...
I'll retract what I said.
They should change the rules.
The league, however, should change the rules.
Agreed.
And not... The thing with keeper league trades, these are the decisions you have to make when you're teetering. Yeah. You know, if you're under 500, but you think your team can make it, then you hold on to your guys. If you're terrible and you say, okay, I got to unload Amendola and Rawls to get... Now, he wouldn't have been able to do that because of the point, probably the trade deadline. In most leagues, Rawls and Amendola weren't very good.
Now, I think I've gotten so many questions lately about fantasy ethics and do I lose intentionally to keep somebody out of the playoffs or something like that. And I really think that you have an obligation to your league to put your best lineup out there every week and try to win. I don't think it's right to put lousy players in your lineup or trade guys to another team to strengthen that team and weaken another that you don't want to see in the playoffs, etc. Like, I think that's shenanigans. In my dynasty league, I knew I wasn't making the playoffs. I still set my, like, because that's a dynasty league. I have incentive to lose there. I still don't think it's right to try to lose. So I set
my lineup
to win.
The right way to tank is you start your best players on your roster. The right way to tank is to trade your good players for future draft picks or
right.
keepers.
But in seasonal leagues, I don't believe in tanking at all. You know,
no.
I don't believe, like, if you're in the playoffs, you know you're going to make it, that your game doesn't matter. I think it's wrong to set a bad lineup so that you affect the playoff standings in a way that benefits you.
Well, I'll give you an example, Adam. It's two guys that you know, Eric Mack, who works for FanDuel, and David Ganos, who works for his own website as well as FanDuel. And they, we're in a league together. It's our softball league, fantasy league. And Ganos had just a miserable year. And so he unloaded, because he can't keep these guys, AJ Green, Jeremy Hill, and I want to say may have been Dez Bryant, for keepers in Jordy Nelson, Kelvin Benjamin.
Okay,
and that's the type of, I think, what you're alluding to, Heath. That's the type of move you make,
right.
You know, because clearly those guys' value next year, when you're talking about 11th round picks, is pretty special.
All right, next email. Actually, this is pretty clever. A guy gave us the script.
He's been doing that for a few weeks now.
Yeah. Has he?
Yes.
Okay, here's the podcast script. Adam, next we have Michael from a city in southeastern Wisconsin. Pause here to let Dave come up with a city. Dave, guess is wrong. Adam, nope, we were looking for Waukesha, Wisconsin. Dave, sarcastic response. Adam, he says, Dear Tony, Bruce, Steve, and Clint, pause here to discuss who these are amongst each other. Jamie guesses correctly, the Avengers. Adam, nice guess, Jamie. Michael says, I'm in a point-per-completion/PPR combo league. 6 points per passing touchdown, 1 point for every 5 rushing yards, and only -1 for interceptions. I am incredibly worried about Matt Ryan. So, he says, I have Matt Ryan and Blake Bortles on my team. Should I go to the waiver wire and pick up Osweiler, Cutler, Tyrod Taylor, Cousins, or Fitzpatrick?
You know, the thing about Taylor that doesn't help him is the completions, because he's not going to throw the ball a ton. Fitzpatrick is easily the guy you go get.
And you drop Ryan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would also like to say it's pretty clear that Adam did not take any drama classes in high school.
Oh.
Because that.
Oh, that is that was, right? Is that right, Heath?
As far as performance art goes, that was miserable.
Did you know that I graduated from college with a degree in broadcast journalism and theater arts? It was my double major.
Well, you chose the right one. Because that was, that was a pretty good script. I laughed out loud reading it. Hearing you do it in a monotone voice while skipping over some of the funnier parts of the email.
See, I didn't really think they were that funny.
It was painful.
I didn't really think they were that funny.
Yeah.
Not trying to call them out. I skipped over it for a reason. I just didn't really. Anyway, I hate theater. I only did it because it was an easy major. I've never been to a Broadway show and hopefully never will. Next.
Are you kidding me?
Never been to a Broadway show and
you live in New York?
Hopefully never will. No interest.
You are like
no interest.
Terrible human being I've ever heard.
Thank you. All right. This next question is from John from a Northern Bay area city in California. San Francisco. I think that's there, right? Number one seed in my league heading into the first week of the playoffs. I have some tough matchups. Don't know what to do. Should I bench Amari Cooper for Steve Johnson, Jeremy Maclin, or James Jones?
You got to do it for Maclin.
Okay. And they're facing
Cooper's got to deal with those two cornerbacks. We already have a sample size. What do you look like? He was bad.
I am scared of Maclin because I could see this being a game where the Chiefs run the ball 35 times and Maclin gets four targets.
I agree with you. The one thing that could potentially happen is he's in such a rhythm right now.
He is.
And the second touchdown, I think it was the second. Was the second one the one at the goal line?
Yeah. I think they actually ended up calling it a rushing touchdown.
Okay. That's the type of play you can see happening for Maclin, you know, where he gets like 60 yards receiving, scores one of those. I don't see Cooper finding the end zone. And if for whatever reason, and it hasn't been like they've been chasing a ton of points,
right,
with Alex Smith when he's had his multiple touchdown games of late. It's been 16-7. He throws two touchdowns to bring them back in the lead. Last week it was, what was it, 2014?
I think so, yeah.
He scores two touchdowns again. So he's just clicking right now. And you have to just buy into performance as opposed to, you know, circumstance in certain situations.
Can I just throw this out there, though? Like, I would start Maclin over Amari Cooper, yeah. But I'm hesitant to buy in because he had two good games in a row in weeks 3 and 4. And then he was pretty much garbage until 2 weeks ago. And we know the career that, you know, Alex Smith has had. It's like, it's hard to buy into performance when it's the Chiefs passing game.
Right. But the thing that I was going to get to is there's been a little bit of change in their backfield, you know, because Wes was banged up. And then, you know, you're starting to see that maybe one guy can't get into rhythm running the ball and that could hurt their running game.
All right. Keeper question here from Josh in a city with a short quarterback.
Washington.
New Orleans.
Hopkins in the third or Doug Martin in the seventh?
It's a good spread because I had a hard time saying you keep Doug Martin over DeAndre Hopkins, but when it's a third versus a seventh, that's huge. I think I'm going to go Martin.
Where is he playing next year?
I think he's done enough to stay in New Orleans now.
You mean Tampa?
Tampa Bay.
Yes. He may stay in New Orleans.
I think the value certainly favors Martin, but it's so hard to pass on the elite receiver. I mean, think about where we are right now.
Yeah.
With running back.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the few that's made it through. And did he just go all out? Because we've seen this from him before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one big season and then nothing. And I wonder if the contract year plays into it.
That's possible. Yeah. Hopkins is safer.
Jordan wants to know if he should drop Eli Manning for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kevin in California. Dear Jesse, Badger, and Skinny Pete. Heath, you ever see Breaking Bad?
Yeah, definitely.
Fan?
I watched the whole series. I enjoyed it, yes.
Okay, good. What's your favorite TV show, Heath? We don't know much about you.
You know, I think it depends on what stage you're at in your life. But I really enjoyed The Office.
Okay.
And Mad Men.
I could see you being an Office guy. Here's the question from Kevin. Heath, what is your favorite TV? No, who would you start at DST this week? the Cardinals against the Vikings or the Packers against the Cowboys?
I'm going with the Cardinals. Thursday night, Teddy Bridgewater's not been good. There's a little bit of... Here's the problem for Minnesota's offense, is their defense has to play well enough to allow them to give the ball to Adrian Peterson 25 times. And if you give it to him 25 times, he's going to break off one or two 50-yard runs. But if the defense doesn't play well enough and they're banged up right now, and I don't think they can hold Arizona down, they're going to end up throwing the ball, and that's going to be disastrous.
I agree.
All right, next one is from someone from somewhere. Anybody want to do a name in a city?
No.
Okay, someone from somewhere. Dear help, guidance, support, and aid, Chris Polk and Isaiah Crowell are free agents in a half-point PPR league. Should I drop Woodhead or Ware for either or both?
I mean, if you need somebody to start this week, I would start Crowell over Woodhead.
I would too.
Okay, he could start Buck Allen and Frank Gore. He's probably going to lose
both
this
those
week.
Guys over Crowell.
Those matchups suck. Well, the matchup's not good for Buck Allen, right? And Gore is just...
No, Gore actually has a good matchup.
No, I know, but he's just, you know.
Well, the thing that you got to buy into is, you know, I know Heron had three catches, but you got to buy into his catch potential. I think Gore actually plays well this week.
I hope so. All right, Greg in Seattle, final question here. I'm seriously considering benching Julio Jones. It's the first time we've even mentioned it. It's the Julio Norman week. I feel like I may be taking crazy pills. I also have Martavis Bryant and Allen Robinson. My running backs are Lamar Miller, Buck Allen, TJ Yeldon, and Sean Drone. Is it crazy to flex one of those running backs over Julio Jones? Lamar Miller, Buck Allen, TJ Yeldon, and Sean Drone. Who I'm guessing he's starting two and flexing one. He didn't specify.
No, don't do it.
I would do it.
Okay.
Wait, who would you flex over?
Let me
over
be
him?
Patient. So you're starting Martavis and Allen Robinson over him.
Mm-hmm.
And then which three running backs?
All but Buck Allen.
No way. I couldn't do it.
No. I can't either. But
Sean Drone should play really well against Cleveland. And PPR-wise, he's been great.
It's standard scoring.
It's standard scoring.
Okay. Even so. I mean, Julio Jones can't find the end zone.
I'd bank on him finding it before Drone.
I wouldn't
Drone.
Bet on that condition.
Okay, so what's the floor and what's the ceiling for Julio this week?
I think the floor is probably... We're assuming they're going to lose. And they're playing
right.
behind.
I'll say 5 points, which is what he scored. 5 points. He scored that twice against Norman last year.
I was going to say 6 or 7. So.
Okay. And what's the ceiling?
Oh, I still think even with Norman, he could catch a long pass and he could go for 120 to score.
Or they can line him up in the slot and he might not cover him. We don't know.
I hope so.
I think 6 to 18 is what you're looking at with Julio.
Yeah, I would probably ballpark it like 6 to 10. I mean, Norman's been fantastic.
He has been. I don't think he'll follow him into the slot.
But Jamie, you said start Brandon Cooks because he wouldn't follow him into the slot.
But Cooks has been a lineup in the slot almost 80% of the time.
Yeah. You have to think that Atlanta saw what... I mean, it wasn't just they lined Cook up in the slot. What they figured out was if we put all of our receivers on one side of the field and Cooks in the slot, and then run him over to the other side of the field, Norman doesn't follow. And then you got him on one side of the field with a different corner.
I mean, look, there's been guys that have made plays against the Panthers secondary. You know, number one receivers, DeSean Jackson had a touchdown against them a couple games ago, too. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, I just listened to Josh Norman enough, and this is now his stretch. He did it against Dez. He's now got Julio, Odell, Julio. This is his contract right here. He's earned his money. Now he goes to the stratosphere if he shuts down these two guys over those three games.
Yeah, and I will say that I could see him actually following Julio into the slot this way. I could see him being like, because he talks smack about how he can shut down Julio Jones. So this is personal for him. And
yeah, I listened to an interview with him the other day where he was saying he's like he wants to face the best guys. I mean, you know, he's the new Revis.
Yeah. This is the most interesting thing, I think, in week 14. And I look forward to talking about it. We'll bring Stephen O on tomorrow and ask him where he has Julio Jones projected.
You want to know what he hasn't projected for?
No, I want to wait till tomorrow. Let's tease it just like that. Go to sportsline.com/FFT, though, if you want to find out right now. I'm Adam Azer for Heath Cummings and Jamie Eisenberg. Guys, thank you very much. Fun times. And Dave Richard as well. I'll talk to you fellas tomorrow.
See ya.
Bye.